ప్రేమస్వరూపులారు.
ఎంబాడిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విత్ ఇన్, నాట్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్, ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashanthi Nilayam, the most happening place on the planet. As I always say, my name is Bishu, and today we continue this session of Outside Inside Deep Inside with the story of Vrindavan. In fact, if you have been listening to the previous episode of this program, you would have listen to various narratives about the coming of the Vrindavan campus. In the previous episode, I shared with you how Mr. Srinivas Murthy, one of the early teachers of the Vrindavan campus, joined Bhagwan's college. In fact, this is the month of December. Few days from now, we will celebrate Christmas, and then comes New Year. And on the day of the New Year, you will find in Prashanthi Nilayam alumni of Bhagwan's educational institutions offering their collective gratitude to Swami. You will find hundreds of students from Bhagwan's institutions in Prashanthi Nilayam. It's a lovely sight to see how Bhagwan has shaped so many beautiful souls, so many beautiful messengers, so many beautiful carriers of his divine message. And what we are having now is stories of these people, because Swami started the Vrindavan campus way back in 1969, and we are having this series to commemorate 50 years of this campus, which will happen in June 2019. Today is the 8th episode of this series, Learning with Love in Vrindavan. And today let us go and listen to stories of few students who joined Bhagwan's college back then in 1969, 70, 71, those formative years. I had the chance to talk to two brothers from United Kingdom, Kiran Patel and Naveen Patel. And along with them in this conversation was also Dr. Ravi Kumar, who is currently the warden of the Vrindavan campus. He joined in 74. We also had Mr. Sridhar, again a student who joined in those early years, 73-74. So I'm going to share with you a few snippets of this long discussion that I had with them. And let's begin with the story of how Brother Naveen Patel joined the Vrindavan campus. He actually had the darshan of Bhagwan in Africa. Yes, when Bhagwan went to Africa in 1968, he was then in Africa. His parents were living there, and Swami drew him from Africa to Vrindavan. So here is Brother Naveen's story, and then we'll move on to very interesting episodes of how it was in those days and some really fascinating stories of how Bhagwan used to play with these students in Vrindavan, and even as he played with them, how he shaped them, how he tutored them, how he transformed their hearts. So let's begin with the story of Brother Naveen Patel.
Traveled to East Africa in 1968, visited Uganda, Kampala. At that time, I was a volunteer there, serving Swami. And one day, early morning, he happened to come out, which was not expected. Mm-hmm. And I was doing some decorations on the floor. He came to me and said, after a bit of brief conversation, he said, "What are you doing in terms of studies?" So I said, "Swami, I'm going to appear for my O-level examination, which is like matriculation from Cambridge University. And after that, I'm going to UK for further studies." And then suddenly, Swami took a 360 degrees turn around where he was standing and looked at me and says, "I'll offer you a seat in my college. Come to my college." Now, dear brothers and sisters, do remember that 1968, there was no boys' college at all.
There was not even a girls' college when this happened.
So there was no plans of it either. Yes. So where is this coming from? But anyway, I didn't know much about it then. And then, as per Swami's instructions, 1970, after I appeared for my exam in December, I had nothing better to do, so came over to India. At that time, Swami was in Mumbai. There must have been some sort of a annual gathering there. Spent a few days in Mumbai with Swami, and I came to India for first time those days. So Swami called me inside the Dhammakshetra, spent a few days with him, traveling with him in Mumbai, going to different public meetings and all that sort of thing. And then one day when Swami was returning back to Vrindavan, he had two of his cars there. And he said, I want you to accompany that cars back to Vrindavan. Oh. So obviously, I thought this must be a privilege laid out to everybody, and you know, I didn't know any better than that. So came in those cars, and obviously there were a few things that happened on the way, but reached Vrindavan next day, very late, and we missed Swami's darshan. The following day, we were in Vrindavan, and there was a wedding. And suddenly Swami came out. We were sitting in the front room of Swami's in Vrindavan.
Bungalow, is it?
Bungalow,
old bungalow.
In the old bungalow. And Swami came, why were you late? Don't know what to. What is going on?
Why were you late?
Why were you late? I said, Swami, car broke down. I told you to keep an eye on the drivers, not to get them driving any faster than what I had told you. He had instructed us to drive no more than 40 miles of speed or something like that.
Okay.
Those days, the roads between Mumbai and Bangalore were very rough roads. They were not tarmac roads, but you know, mud roads and that sort of thing. And one of the car's axles broke down. And that's why we got delayed. So anyway, Swami took us to task for that one. He said, okay, never mind, stay here. And there's a wedding happening. Go and watch the wedding. Where is this wedding coming from? But anyway, we joined in and spent some time with Swami for the next few days. And in between, he was talking to me, and he said, look, you got your grandfather in Gujarat. Now, I had not told Swami about it. No, none of the other people knew that I had my grandfather in Gujarat. So he said, why don't you go and visit him? He's getting very old. It's time you go and visit him. But the college is not yet starting, so you could start some time.
So this was 1969, right?
1970.
This is 70?
70. So that was a holiday period, you know, July. Holiday.
Vacation.
June, July, vacation time.
It must have been May, June.
Anniversary at that time. So as per Swami's instruction, I went to Gujarat. And a day I spent in Baroda with Atul Patel, and we had some discussions.
Atul Patel is C.G. Patel's son.
Ah, okay. Mr. C.G. Patel arranged the entire trip to Africa. Yes.
That's right. He was the main host in Africa. In Baroda, we had some discussion with Atul Patel. One of the discussions was that Atul Patel said, so what are you doing here? I thought, Naveen, you were going to UK and studying for medicine there. I said, yes, that was the plan, but here Swami has promised me a seat here. I said, but Swami doesn't have a medical school. Suddenly, that little sentence hit my mind momentarily. And then I brushed it off, thinking, oh, whatever Swami is doing, okay, maybe I'm not party to that, and totally forgot about it. So momentarily, there was a doubt in my mind. But I totally forgot about it. And as per Swami's instruction, I came back to Vrindavan. But by that time, Swami was in Prashanti. Came back to Prashanti. And that was my first visit to Prashanti. I had never been to Prashanti before. And Kasturiji saw us. Swami, by that time, had gone upstairs to his residence, upstairs in the Mandir area. So when we reached the interview room boys told us to go upstairs. So I was right in front. I was so eager to see Swami. Behind me was Anup Shah, who was one of the other students who came with me from Africa. And behind him was Kasturiji. And if people have been upstairs, those people who have been, they may remember that these staircases are spiral staircases with very uneven steps. And I rushed straight in front. And right at the top of this landing was Swami. And Swami was shouted. He shouted, "You rowdy, get out!" That voice, yeah. It is Swami there. So I was just looking around, seeing if there are any other people. But that space is so small. And looking around, I thought, Anup is there behind me, Kasturiji is there, and myself. So who can it be? And then I looked up, "You," he was pointing at me. Then he said, "Anup has got a seat here in Vrindavan. You don't have. So there's no place for you. Get out." I thought, what is going on? Here is Swami. Both of us came together. Swami promised me a seat here. And now he's telling me to get lost. So, and then his next sentence, he said, "You go to Baroda and start discussing with Atul that, you know, Swami doesn't have medical school, and you got doubts." Penny dropped, saying, you know, now I've got doubts. So then I realized that just that momentary thought, even though Swami is 1,000 miles away from me, Swami is keeping a tag on me all the time. Not only me, every devotee Swami is, everybody virtually. But Swami is everywhere. He's showing me His omnipresence, that no matter what you do, where you are always in His hands. So one must not forget that. And immediately, He is our mother and father, beg forgiveness from Him. And that's exactly what I did. And as if, you know, Almighty God cannot do, "Oh, see what I can do," but it's so difficult, you know. All the seats are gone. This is what Swami says. So, you know, Almighty is so perturbed about this thing. Can you believe it? He said, "I'll see what I can do." After a few days, we returned back to Vrindavan.
So that was Brother Naveen Patel narrating about how he joined Vrindavan and how Bhagwan reprimanded him for entertaining even slightest doubt, entertaining the thought of studying elsewhere. I mean, that is how focused Swami wanted them to be, because He was preparing them for what was to come, because He was going to shower them with so much of love that He wanted their undivided attention. He wanted absolutely no distraction. He wanted no doubts whatsoever. That is the start of any spiritual journey. In fact, our journey begins with faith and Sanchaya Atma Vinashati, as it is said. You cannot have doubts once you are on the path to God. So that is how Brother Naveen's journey to Bhagwan began, journey as a Sai student began. And he goes on to narrate how life was at that point in time in Vrindavan, how Bhagwan used to spend so much time and how they had so little comforts. Absolutely, if you talk about the standard of living or you talk about the facilities they had, and it was really minimal. But at the same time, you know, they had something which no one else had. Something that they can trade for anything in the world. I mean, that is how life was in Vrindavan in those days. Let's go back to those beautiful days.
That time, basically the hostel, if you come to Vrindavan, the main gate, as you enter the gate, on the left hand side, there were 3 garages for the cars, Swami's cars, to be stored. Just then, just a few days before then, they started constructing a dormitory above these garages. That became our hostel. And this dormitory was such that Swami had instructed that only 24 squares be laid out, so 24 boys can reside in there. And the facilities downstairs was, you know, a toilet on one side and the bathrooms and behind the building, and a kitchen attached to next to the garage in that ground floor. And that's what it was, basic, very basic living. But when we came back to Vrindavan,
so no cupboards, no fans.
Oh, nothing.
Cupboards, fans.
These are luxuries.
Luxuries.
For jumping and, almost a decade.
And the roof was basically corrugated galvanized sheets. It's tin sheets. The reason why I'm pointing this out to you is that if you're sleeping under the floors in the dormitory at night, because Vrindavan, you're the Bangalore, winter time gets very cold, or used to get very cold then, and you're breathing in and out, So the water vapor would accumulate on top of this, this corrugated sheets.
Mm-hmm.
And as time goes, this accumulated water vapor would then drop down on top of you, condensation.
Very cold.
And if I can just add something to that.
Yeah, please.
It also had, the roof had a lot of holes.
Mm-hmm.
So during the monsoon season, you would guess what will happen.
Oh my God.
We used to wake up in puddle of water,
yeah.
You know, because we were sleeping on the floor. And as you mentioned, during the winter time, freezing cold.
Mm.
Summertime, it used to be really, really hot. And no luxury whatsoever.
Mm.
I don't know whether you can remember.
Mm-hmm.
Literally every other day, Swami used to come upstairs.
Mm, yeah.
And just walk around and used to query, who is sleeping here, who is sleeping there. And actually, for one or two boys, said, so show me your suitcase, you know.
Oh.
So I had to open the suitcase and Swami said, okay, what about you?
So initially,
of course, you know, I used to see this as a devotee from outside. You know, Swami would just go up the steps which were on one side of the building and he would just disappear. You know, for a couple of hours, he would be waiting, singing bhajans, and Swami would spend all the time. And that was when the desire to join Vrindavan, no?
And most devotees would see this, that the moment the boys are there, standing near the hostel, Swami would walk from Vrindavan bungalow straight towards where the hostel is.
Mm.
And they would just briefly have Swami's darshan and no more.
Mm.
Previously, they had the luxury of having conversations with Swami.
Mm.
They were missing all these things.
Mm.
And many people were cursing for this.
You know, was the time when Swami would come, complete half a circle and come back to the hostel.
Mm.
And while going back, he'll complete the other half circle of the Sairam shed.
Yes.
And one of those days, you know, Swami said, hey, devotees are waiting. Don't sing Narayana three times. Sing Narayana only two times in the aarti.
Oh my God.
That's how the thing got edited, you know.
Vrindavan aarti.
Yeah, Vrindavan aarti got edited those days.
So that is how it was in those days. Swami giving so much of his time, so much of himself to the students. And one of the reasons this was happening perhaps is he was setting the stage for that education mission that was to become the role model for so many institutions in India and world over. And as they went on narrating these stories, you know, slowly they started sharing how Bhagwan set up the hostel routine, how he inspired boys to start doing Suprabhatam, how he delineated what they should do at what point of time during the day. So he was getting involved with every aspect of the development of boys, physical, mental, spiritual, emotional. Let's listen to Brother Naveen. He now goes further talking about Bhagwan's involvement in the hostel routine and how boys should spend their time.
Coming back to the hostel,
mm.
what would you do in the hostel?
Mm.
You know,
the 12 boys.
The 12 boys.
Mm.
So Swami very lovingly told us, so what would you do? Do you think you will, morning you get up, do Suprabhatam? In Puttaparthi they do very early, but Suprabhatam and all that sort of thing. You don't want to get up that early. What I suggest is, 5:30 you start the Suprabhatam. At about 5:15 you wake up. You don't need to have a bath or anything like that. If you want to wash, have a face wash and that's all. Come back and sit, roll your bed, and just sit on your bed. So, in the front, in the dormitory, we had set up Swami's chair
mm-hmm.
and a photographer there. And he said, just have a lamp there. Do your Suprabhatam there. Before you do Suprabhatam, do you think you can do 21 Omkars? Yeah. This is all democracy. This is never heard of. But, you know, Swami is that wonderful democratic way. And who would say no to it? It's so lovingly he's telling us. And then he says, do 21 Omkars, do Suprabhatam, and then sit silently. Not even sort of a meditation or anything like that.
Mm.
Sit silently for a few minutes. Calm down. And then walk from there very silently down the stairs. And then run for about a mile, mile and a half to this river which was near this stud farm near Sigahali. That is, on that bridge, the bridge has got some sort of concrete sittings on there. So if you would like to sit in there, I mean, how specific Swami is, yeah? If you want to sit on there, just sit there for a few minutes and then run back from there. Come running straight into the showers and have a good shower.
No hot water stuff.
Remember, those days, as I said, it was very cold. And having a cold shower, it could kill you. But Swami said, nothing will happen to you.
Brindavan, I think those days was filled with vegetation, isn't it?
Almost like
a forest.
Lot of greenery.
Lot of greenery, vegetation.
In fact, the name of the village nearby is Kadugudi. You know, it is a forest in which there was a temple.
Oh, that is the etymology?
Yes. Kadu means forest and Gudi means temple. The temple is still there, you know. But it's hardly, it's a jungle, a different jungle now.
It's a concrete jungle
concrete
now.
Concrete jungle.
So that's how the name Kadu Gudi.
Yes.
A temple in the forest.
Yes.
Wow. And that's what it is. We have Swami's temple.
Yes. Yes. Basically, temple is mood. Nearer to us. You know, this is how he set everything for us. And one thing he very clearly says that, you do this, and I promise you, none of you will feel ill. None of you will fall ill.
Oh, wow.
Having a cold bath in such cold weather,
I know.
One would feel shock. I come from UK. I would dare not have a ice cold bath. But that's Swami's promise. And none of us 12 boys ever felt ill.
But tell me, as you said, you know, coming from United Kingdom and coming from a reasonably well-to-do family where you had all the conveniences. Now, with this kind of living conditions, were you all the time feeling, where did I come? And how do I live in a place like this where I want to share? I don't even have any privacy of my own.
Right.
I don't have a proper roof. I don't have a proper cupboard. I don't have anything with me. Yeah. Did any of such thoughts come during that time?
Yes, initially, I mean, we didn't come from UK. We came from Uganda.
Yeah.
So for Kampala. But Kampala is again cold. Not as cold as what you see here. But it was cooler. So we had all many of the luxuries. But somebody like me, and I think most of the other boys who were there, their intention was to stay near Swami, come what may. So it's just like, you know, you are going to an ashram or a Gurukula system, and Swami wanted this thing being built like a Gurukula system.
Yes.
Because those things existed in the Gurukula system.
Yes.
And you know, Rama, Krishna, everybody grew up that way, and wonderful epic stories we have.
Yes.
And Swami wanted to bring that aspect back into the systems. So this is where he wanted us to do just basic living. Somebody like me, I felt, no, I want to stay near Swami.
Okay.
So I'll forego all those luxuries. Don't need anything like that. If I'm near Swami, that's all I needed.
That was so overriding and
overriding
over everything.
At least to me and most of the other boys. There were a couple of other boys who were missing that. And few times they actually wanted to get out of the hostel.
Oh.
Few of them did that.
Oh.
But they went back home and they said, no, I'm missing Brindavan. And they came back.
They came back. Wow.
Because the love that we get from Swami, your parents also cannot give you that.
Yes. Wow. Amazing.
He's our divine mother and father.
I mean, I can just add something regarding the hostel life that we just now were discussing. Now the kitchen again. Firewood used to be used, you know. And I can remember, I'm pretty sure in Naveen's time, it was the same practice.
Yes.
Used to get logs of wood. And whoever had the enthusiasm, there was an axe that was...
Cut the wood.
Yes, yes.
We used to cut...
Literally Gurukula system.
We used to cut the wood.
Oh.
And then for the cooking,
yes,
the cook was there. We used to help the cook cut the vegetables and what have you. And you can well imagine, this is a small hostel, and the kitchen part is probably about under 6 foot by 6 foot.
Correct.
You know? so restricted.
Mm-hmm.
Lot of smoke, black smoke, soot coming out.
Mm.
And as Ravi Kumar just had mentioned, that Swami used to spend hours together in a hostel and what have you.
Mm.
Very much true. Swami used to come and used to try and make it a point to go into this kitchen.
Oh.
And we used to actually try and block Swami, you know. Because it's such a dirty area, right? We didn't want Swami to, you know, come out in black suit and all that. But still, Swami used to just move out. He used to go in, there used to be sambar, curry and all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he used to taste it.
Oh, yeah. No?
And he says, and few times he said, I'm going to eat with you today. So, you know, the cooks and everybody else had to be meticulous about how they cook, what they cook.
The quality has to be
quality
all the time.
Has been absolutely. So this is why the quality of the food
and the taste. Well, yes, Swami would insist. You know, the taste should be good. These are young boys who have come from cities. So you must make it tasty. He used to say.
Wow.
And this used to be everyday affair. We used to bring food to Swami. Swami used to partake, have some, and then he used to say, okay, the dish, just take it around, take some, you know. You also distribute. Join me.
Huh. Distribute. Yeah. Mm.
So all that used to happen.
So every day used to cook for Swami?
Yeah.
Oh. Whatever we eat, Swami would eat the same thing. Swami.
Oh.
Wow. Amazing experiences boys used to have at that time, you know. Materializations of rings or necklaces used to be very common.
Yes.
I could remember one boy once, Swami asked him, you know, what do you want? This is all the boys had gathered around Swami, you know. And he said, oh, Swami, I only want you. Then Swami said, okay, give me your palm, you know. And then Swami puts his palm on top.
Wow.
And then you would see the expression of this boy. Well, if Swami asks you, you'd be thrilled, right? And this boy, then suddenly his face started glowing. And when Swami's hand came off, there was a bundi, you know, the laddu.
Warm.
And then Swami said, now go around and share it with all
everyone.
The boys, you know.
Yes.
I can remember one Swami also creating amrut, you know, and this nectarine divine.
Fragrance.
Yeah, fragrance is one.
Taste.
But taste of it, just out of the world. Never ever actually had that before.
Beautiful. Wow. Those days were like that. Nectarous days.
They were days of filled with love. But at the same time, the undertone of
discipline.
Gradual transformation of the boys. There was one boy, obviously, call it days and whatever. But Swami asked his boy, so where were you in the afternoon? You know? And this boy was not saying anything. Swami insisted, tell me, where were you today afternoon? And he was saying, no, Swami, I was in a college, you know. Omnipresent Lord, you cannot hide anywhere. Yeah. And then Swami shook his hand and created a photograph of him actually smoking. You know, caught red-handed.
Oh my God.
And that's it. After that, there was amazing transformation. I wouldn't want to mention the name, but amazing transformation of this boy, you know. At least my own experience of sort of students, I'm pretty sure that all of us around this table also would have had the same. We had students from various backgrounds, you know, from broken families and their habits, their lifestyles and everything. And they used to come to Swami's fold and incredible transformation, role models afterwards.
Yes.
You know. So this was one aspect that constantly used to happen. Academic was one thing,
yes,
but the spiritual growth, becoming better person, was a key emphasis. Although Swami was not forcing you, giving you all the space, as brother had mentioned, diplomacy, no, gradual
democracy,
yeah, and all that used to happen. No.
Wow,
it was just incredible what all used to happen.
So how Swami used to, as he gave so much of time, how he was slowly correcting them, slowly refining their character, slowly changing their habits and taking them to where he want them to be in terms of character, in terms of purity. So that transformation process was going on, and that is what Bhagwan always is interested in. The only thing that matters to the Lord is how pure is our heart, and that is the only journey that all of us are in. And Swami was doing it in his own way, in a manner that it becomes solid, it becomes steady, and it becomes a life-altering experience. So that is the transformation of the heart, that is the elevation of the soul that was happening. And so what perhaps would take a normal course of things, 10 years, you know, when the avatar is there right in front of you, it will probably just happen in 10 seconds, in 1 second. I mean, the avatar can do, and that is the huge blessing of having the divine as our Sadguru and living with such a Sadguru. And there are so many such moments, and you touch any boy of that era and they will fill you with such wonderful stories of how Bhagwan was subtly, covertly and overtly touching their hearts and transforming their minds. There's another very lovely story that Brother Ravi Kumar, Dr. T. Ravi Kumar, who, as I mentioned, is the warden of the hostel now, he narrated, very sweet and very hilarious and interesting episode.
I remember another beautiful incident. Swami would just walk into the hostel. Early one morning he came in, and you know, he was mentioning about this brother Anoop Shah.
Yes.
This Anoop Shah was a terror for us.
Oh.
New students.
Oh, okay, really?
Terror, okay. And he used to be very strict, and he used to prepare some roasted peanuts or something and keep it in a bowl. And you know, even to wash Swami's vessels, silver vessels, he used to have bath.
Oh.
He was very devoted to Swami, but studies-wise he was not very interesting. I remember when he passed the exam, Swami gave us sweets. And Swami said, actually he didn't pass, but you know, the university wanted to change the scheme, so they passed it. But you know, he was so devoted to Swami. This incident is still green in my memory. One day Swami just came to the hostel around 5:45. No, very early, you know, he came, and we all crowded around Swami. You know, there used to be some Kadapa slab tables where we used to have our breakfast and all that. Right. And we used to be standing around that, and Swami would be at the head of the whole thing. Swami sat down and asked, "Warden ekada?" And the warden rushed from upstairs and came, because nobody expected Swami so early.
So, Mr. Sundara?
Mr. Sudarshan.
Sudarshan,
Mr.
Sir.
Sudarshan. Now he's, of course, Dr. Sudarshan. He came and Swami said, "Where is Anoop Shah?" He looked around, he was not there. The, you know, the warden trembled, because Swami expected the warden to be omniscient like him.
Yeah.
The warden is supposed to know where each student is.
Comes to the boys.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
The warden is supposed to know what the student is doing or thinking. And then Swami said, "Yem warden, you don't know where the boys are," he said. And there was a short lull, you know, in the conversation. And we heard somebody singing gruffly. Then Swami said, "Vastunadu."
He's coming.
He's coming. And you know, Swami put his finger to his lips, indicating to us, "Don't say anything." So we all stood there, and Anoop Shah came and stood behind all the boys, you know. And you know, Swami looked at him and said, "Hey, Anoop, where is my garland?" You know, he had got up early. You know, one corner of the tank, you know, in the eastern corner, the northeastern corner, he had sat there and made a garland chanting Swami's name.
Wow.
And can you imagine, Swami had come to the hostel to take that, receive that from him. And he said, "Ah, Swami, here." And he was about to move forward. Swami said, "Wait." And Swami said, "Tisko." And he did like that, you know, as if throwing something. And the laddu formed and fell into his hand.
The laddu formed in the air?
Yes. Okay, and fell into his hand. Okay. We were all very excited, you know. Swami looked at all of us and, "Miku kavala?" he asked. "You also want?" Actually, we were very happy. "Yes, Swami, yes, Swami." And Swami said, "Okay, basket tiskurandi." So somebody went to get a basket. And you know, the moment seemed like years for us. That fellow is not coming, and any moment Swami may get up. And we are keeping the conversation rolling by asking, by telling this and that. And then that boy came. he had brought a sizable basket.
Hmm.
And Swami said, hey, warden, make laddus and give all boys. And you know, after Swami went, he pulled up this fellow and said, see, because you delayed so much, Swami changed his mind. And he said, no, see, I got a small basket, but I thought if you get a big basket, it's a once in a time, once in a lifetime chance. You know, by the time I could get a big basket, it took time. You know, that kind of, those kind of incidents used to be so common those days.
It almost reminds you of the times of Krishna. Yes, this absolutely. Is how Krishna would play.
Yes.
When you expect it won't happen.
Yes.
When you don't
expect it will happen.
Don't expect it will happen.
Yes.
All the time he's thrilling you.
Yes. Wow. So much of excitement, you know.
Mm.
You don't know what's going to happen. Each session used to be full of novelty.
So that was Dr. Ravi Kumar, the warden of the Vrindavan campus. And as he mentioned, that is how Vrindavan was in those days. You know, it really reminded everyone of the times of Krishna. And it was not just this fun, not just this beautiful lessons that Swami was imparting, but it was also all the activities. In fact, the Gokulam in Vrindavan also started during that time in 72-73, and the boys were doing the kind of things that gopis and gopalas used to do during the time of Krishna. And Brother Kiran Patel and Naveen Patel go back and share the genesis of the Gokulam that happened in Vrindavan in the early 70s.
Yeah, around 72-73.
Yeah, correct.
Some boys were chosen by Swami.
Yeah.
And on a small scale they started.
Looking after the cows.
Yeah. Yes, that's right.
Hmm.
By the time I came, I joined Vrindavan, the Gokulam was kind of established, and Vijay Bhaskar and all of them.
So that's so by 74, Gokulam was there.
Yes.
Hmm.
And Swami used to visit that every day. And there also boys used to take care of everything, including milking the cows, taking care of the cows, fodder, and cleaning the Gokulam.
Hmm.
You know, sometimes when the cows died, you know, they had to bury it, they had to dig.
Oh.
All that, everything they used to take care.
Wow.
And there used to be a veterinary doctor who used to come. From the local, there was a veterinary dispensary on the other side of the railway line.
Yes.
So he used to come.
That's right, yeah.
And then Dr. Butt's relative used to come. And these boys, you know, they would get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and milk the cows and all that. And they would come to class and we would make fun of them. He'd say, hey, you smell of dung, don't sit near us and all that, he used to say. But it hardly mattered, you know. They were getting lots of chances from Swami.
Wow.
And so they would just ignore all these remarks.
I think that was a privilege, actually.
A very great privilege.
Somehow do something just to engage with Swami, you know.
And to take care of cows in Vrindavan. Right under Krishna. You can imagine, it is such a privilege.
I was only, you know, drawing the parallel to Krishna avatar again, where, you know, all the Gopalas would look after the cows and that is their way to be with Krishna.
Yeah. Yes. And, you know, Swami had given names to all the cows.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Lakshmi, Parvati, Saraswati, Ganga.
Oh.
All those were names which Swami had given.
Beautiful.
And Swami, of course, could identify every cow and, you know, it was such a blissful
period. Initially, we were getting the milk from a dairy farm near in Whitefield.
Mm-hmm.
And then Swami said, yes, times you are struggling to get this milk. Why don't you have some cows here? And that's how the Gokulam started in Vrindavan. He says, you have your own pure milk.
Mm.
Why get it from outside? Sometimes they're adulterated.
Yeah. Mm. And later on, we used to even supply to Joy ice cream.
That's right, yes.
Oh. Uses to supply. Amazing.
So, this is how things grew.
Amazing.
So that was Brother Naveen again and Dr. Ravi Kumar sharing how the Gokulam happened. And I mean, imagine the boys, even while pursuing their graduation and post-graduation courses at Bhagwan's Lotus Feet, were doing all this work. And in fact, they were producing so much surplus that they were supplying to the Joy Ice Cream Factory. But the most important thing, you know, why they were doing all this is they knew that this will make Swami happy. They knew that if they do this, they can get one more moment of proximity with Swami. They knew that this is what Swami expects them to do. This is what Swami wants should get into their personality. So if Swami wants it, we will do it. Because anything to be with Swami, anything to dedicate your time, your life for Swami. So that is how it was. It was really surcharged with those vibes, how it was in the times of Gokul Vrindavan. And as I was talking to Brother Kiran, I asked him also his journey. We heard about Naveen's journey, about how he came from Africa. And Brother Kiran Patel joined a little later, and he too was in Africa. And when he joined, it was the time of summer course. In fact, the 1972 summer course was one very landmark event that happened during those initial years of the college. And Brother Kiran Patel joined Bhagwan's college during that time. Let's listen to his story of how Bhagwan pulled him, because each person who joined the college at that point in time, they were really very privileged ones, chosen ones, people earmarked by Swami for that blessing and for becoming an instrument in his hand. Brother Kiran Patel went on to head the Satyasai organization in UK for many years. Here is the story of Brother Kiran Patel.
Summer course was in many ways a very significant event.
Yes.
Yeah, Vrindavan was always associated with summer courses.
Summer courses, yes.
Right from the beginning.
Yeah, this is absolutely.
Summer showers in Vrindavan.
Yes.
That's how they named it, like.
No? Correct, correct, absolutely.
And the summer course, you know, started in 1972. Mm. And Swami made sure that when our colleges would break up for summer holidays, that all the classrooms would go empty. And he said, the boys from outside state or from outside, or everybody who is participating within the summer course, can stay here on campus at Vrindavan. And that is why all the classrooms were made empty. And in the Vrindavan, behind Swami's residence, the big bungalow, there used to be a massive marquee that was created for obviously, we would look after the PA systems and lightings and all that sort of thing. And all the classrooms and dormitories were allocated to the students,
from all over
coming from all over India.
Mm-hmm.
Many of our college students, the first year, there were very few left in Vrindavan because only few hostel students were there. 12 of us or 15 of us or 20 of us, we would be there. But most of the others, day scholars that were there, they would not be there. So there was enough space for everybody else. And that was what was allocated to.
If I can just add, my memory of the summer course, very pleasant, because that was the time that I actually first arrived in Vrindavan.
Okay, 72 summer course.
That's right.
Oh, okay.
I came over and Naveen had come down to Bombay to pick me up. And for me, it was quite an eye-opener. First time ever I'm coming to India. First time ever to Swami.
First time seeing Swami?
No, no.
No,
I had seen Swami in 1968.
Okay, in Africa.
In Kampala.
When Swami had come to Africa.
Yes, yes.
And at that time, I was a very young volunteer. And for me, it was a thrilling experience when Swami was just walking past. And although I was a young volunteer, I rushed over, I folded my hands, and I was standing with about three, four other people. And Swami came and patted several times on my shoulder. That was very, very special for me. So, yeah, first physical darshan was in Kampala.
That moment was a very endearing moment. You felt so good that Swami came and patted you.
Yes, absolutely. It was incredible. I must have been about 14 years or 13, something like that. And for me, Swami was only in a photograph to actually come down all the way to Africa. So like Swami coming and specially giving you that darshan, you know. It was very special, you know. And then for Swami to touch you, that was another big thing for us.
Darshan sparshan.
Naveen used to write some wonderful things about the experiences that were going on
mails,
in the hostel.
The mails, letters I used to write to
snail
my
mails.
Parents.
Now you call them
snail mails. But it used to be only letters.
Letters.
That's right. And I got very excited and I asked him that if you get a chance, please ask Swami that I want to come and join his college, you know. And Swami was very loving. He said, yeah, ask him to come. So that was the time, during the summer course, I arrived. And didn't know where I was going to stay. And then Swami asked for me. There were only about 9 students or 10 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
They were all staying in this little balcony, which is adjacent to Swami's bedroom,
mm-hmm.
and a very big window separating the two.
Okay.
Yeah? Upstairs, outside, in the bungalow.
Upstairs,
upstairs in the bungalow.
In the bungalow.
Oh.
So Swami called for me, and he said that you can stay here with these other boys.
Oh.
So my first greatest good fortune, when I look back now, was to actually be next to Swami's room.
Oh my God. Mm. And even though you're not a student.
No, I was not a student.
Not yet a student.
You know?
Not yet a student, yes.
For me, it was, this was all very like a new thing. I mean, you know, I was a very young man, you know, to see Swami there writing letters, which I'd never heard, you know. Swami is God, so why does he need to write letters? Picks up a telephone, you know.
Oh,
why does he need to phone? It was all very strange for me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then Swami is resting. You see Swami resting there,
oh.
you know. Morning, you know, summer course, there's expectation that all the students will get up, go to Suprabhatam and all that. Mm-hmm. And majority would get up. 2-3 fellows were just still sleeping there.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember, and I was very tired on that when I came. I was just sleeping there.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami comes out. And gives a kick.
Oh.
He says, "Go! Why you're still here? What are you doing here?" You know. And as you had just now mentioned, this is Krishna's abode. Surely it was like that, you know.
So that is how Brother Kiran Patel joined, and you know, everybody's memories of those early times are so special. Everybody brings out a facet of Bhagwan, an incident, an anecdote which no one else has shared, and it has so much of life, so much of sweetness. And that is how those days were in Vrindavan. In fact, every student's story of that era is like that. Let me now take you to the story of another brother, Mr. Sridhar, who currently stays in Prashanthi Nilayam, and who too joined in that era, in the early 70s, and his story of how his parents developed faith in Swami, and then how he longed to be a Sai student, and finally the way it happened, is really very interesting.
I came to Puttaparthi along with my father in 1963.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, some devotee came and showed my father that we have arranged 3 buses to Puttaparthi. Those days, no buses were there, anything like that. So, would you like to come? Then my father was reluctant, like, and he showed a photograph of Swami.
Mm.
Oh, what is this? He looks like a rowdy.
Oh my God!
And just immediately, just thought that he'll be hurting him, and told, "No, no, I don't have money to come to Puttaparthi."
Mm-hmm.
Then finally, then he told, "No, no, I'll give the money to come to Puttaparthi."
Mm-hmm.
Then again, my father gave an excuse that if I come to Puttaparthi, I will have to give money to my family people for spending, no? Then that also I'll give you. Whenever if it's possible, you come. So he was very hard that he saw that we came to Puttaparthi.
Mm-hmm.
So my father, myself and my sister, we came to Puttaparthi in 3 buses, no?
Mm-hmm.
So everybody got interview. It was a 3-day trip.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, tomorrow morning, by 10 o'clock, we are going to leave.
Mm.
So my father didn't get an interview.
He didn't get?
Yeah, all the bus people, everybody got interview.
Mm-hmm.
And my father didn't get interview. So early morning, 2 o'clock, we got up. My father told, let's go to Chitravati. We'll have our bath. And we finished our bath, came and sat in Prashanthi Nilayam.
Mm.
Front we were sitting. Exactly, Swami, 7 o'clock, Swami came out and called my father.
Mm. Last day.
Yeah, last day. Mm. 10 o'clock we are going to leave.
Mm.
7 o'clock, those days, no, 7 to 11 used to be the interview time. Like.
Mm.
And when we went inside, then Swami, smiling, told, "Nen rowdy kada."
Oh, he said that.
Oh, you know, think, those days, no mobile, no phone, nothing, some 150 kilometers far away. And he told his friend, and that Swami said, then my father fell at his feet, "Swami, please excuse me, sorry.
Mm.
He told, no, manchidi bhagavan, nothing, you're not told anything wrong.
Out of the way, nothing. Oh my God.
And Swami is there, then he narrated a complete life history of my father.
Oh my.
He told, "You have so many brothers, then all the brothers passed away, all the daughters, sons and all, marriage expenses, everything. So now you are in a lot of trouble. And you have come for the sake of Sridhar." I was standing, no?
Mm.
"I'll look after him."
Swami said.
Yes. Mm. "I'll look after him." And it passed, and then later on, we started a bhajan in our house. That time Samithis were not there. In Alsur, we started bhajan in Nahros. The moment Swami gave interview and Swami gave photograph also by his hand, same photograph we put a frame and we started bhajan in our house in Alsur, Bangalore. Then later on, that is in 63, then later on the Samithi started. All that.
Swami inaugurated the Samithi.
No, that is mandir.
Building.
That is building. Before that, mandir was not there. No? It used to happen in Ramakrishna Mathi.
Opposite.
There's a big hall. There the bhajan used to be conducted and all that. And finally then Balavikas started. We are first batch of Balavikas students, like even Ravi Kumar is my Balavikas mate in Alsur.
Yeah. All of us, Sundaresan, Dr. Sundaresan, who is now the head of Department of Chemistry, and Sridhar, and myself, we are from the same Balavikas.
Same Balavikas, Bangalore, Alsur Balavikas, first batch of Balavikas.
1968.
I don't remember the year, it's maybe 67, 68 like that. Yeah. Those days, no Balavikas means no formal thing, only bhajans. We'll be singing bhajans.
And some stotrams, this Gita, Dhyana, Shlokam and all
this. Then, whenever Swami comes to Vrindavan, our Balavikas Guru will inform us. Every Thursday we used to have Balavikas bhajans, and Balavikas Guru, no, she'll tell, we are all going to Vrindavan for the darshan.
Vasantamma.
Vasantamma.
She's still alive? Balavikas. Oh, okay.
Yeah, she's about 90 years.
90 years.
90 years. So, then we'll be taken to Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, around that Sairam shed, there will be so many trees. Under one tree, we Balavikas boys, myself, Ravi, Ravi Kumar, Sundaresan and all that, we used to sit. And Swami used to come, and we used to carry one small chair along with us.
Oh,
folding
chair. Take a
chair. Folding chair.
Yeah.
Godrej folding chair, no, with handles, no. We'll just open it, and Swami will come and sit in that.
Invariably. Come and sit there. And you know, the official bhajans would be going on there, and Swami would ask us to sing here.
So this small bhajan.
Yeah.
And with your own Swami, your own chair, your own bhajans, your own session.
Swami will come and sit and just padu.
Sing.
Then Rama, Rama, Sai, Ram, like that.
We used to sing some songs.
We used to enjoy, no? These volunteers, know, they'll have tough time because Sairam Shed devotees will be sitting there. Before going to Sairam Shed chair, no, Swami will sit in our chair. And these people will start
coming this
coming side. Coming this side, no? Then volunteers have to stop them.
Stop them.
Then Swami will go to the Sairam Shed and come back. Again, he'll call the volunteers. And invariably, every time we go to Wakefield, we'll get prasadam with Swami's hands only.
Swami would give us individually.
Sweets or something.
Something. Oranges, apples or sweets.
Wow. So it will go on. So later it went on. Where I stopped is 1972 was the inspiration for me actually. Actually we have seen college starting in 69. Then the college functions.
So you used to come to Vrindavan?
No, no, regularly. Very ardent devotees, like I used to play duffly in Vrindavan bhajan group. I was a small boy. Ravi is also a duffly player.
Yes.
So that was our passport.
Yeah. You know, all the elders will be sitting. There will be a small place kept for us.
Okay.
Bhajan will be going on. Certainly by around Swami will come at around 9 o'clock. Means by 8, 8:15 we'll reach. Like VIPs, we'll just walk like the small kids. Yeah, we were just having white shirt, white pants, small men. We'll go and sit in the front. Along
because you're playing Kanjira.
Yeah.
We are about 10, 12 years.
And the place will be kept for us. They'll encourage us to play duffly. And in fact, we have played duffly for Swami's songs. Swami's bhajans. Swami will give discourse, no? For that also Swami's singers. So all this happened. In 1972, when the summer course was going on, inside Swami's bungalow. Swami's bungalow
behind, no?
Yes.
Yeah, behind.
Behind, yes.
So smart. There only that put Shami and us, and we used to attend as small boys, and that was the inspiration. I should join Swami's college.
You felt that time?
Yes.
I mean, when you saw all these boys.
Yes. These boys enjoying, these boys speaking and all that. I thought I should join Swami's college. So I applied for Swami's college.
So you had finished your school?
Tenth. And I applied for Swami's college. Then I went for the interview. Professor Narendra was the principal. Then I went. Then he told, what is your mother tongue? What's the second language in the school? I told, Tamil, sir. Oh, here we don't have a Tamil lecturer. Can you study yourself without a lecturer? And then I told, I'll just think it over, sir. And I just came off. I didn't join.
72, you didn't join.
I didn't join. Then we are in Alsur, no? Bhajans, we used to attending. Next year, 74, Ravi joined.
Then also there was no Tamil teacher. I just dropped into the Sanskrit class. And the Sanskrit teacher straight away welcomed us. And everyone applauded. And so I didn't know what to do. I was so embarrassed. I didn't know what to do. I came and asked Swami, Swami, should I take Sanskrit? Swami said, yeah, yeah, take Sanskrit. It will be useful later on for your speeches.
Swami said that?
Swami said that.
He said that?
Yeah.
Oh my God. You are not spoken in front of Swami, right?
Yeah, I had not spoken at that time. It was just first week of
you joining. My God. And it's so prophetic.
So this option was not there for me. Means I didn't know that I can go for Sanskrit and that. I'm thinking only of Tamil. So I didn't join the college at all. Then, you know, Ravi was my inspiration, like in the holidays, no? Ravi Kumar will come to bhajans and everybody will tell Sai Ram to him because he's a VIP.
He's Swami student.
Swami student. Still, that fear of studying without a lecturer avoided me from joining the college. And I'm just kind of telling a story how Swami attracted me or brought me to the college. It's a miracle, like. And because all these people, Swami has told them to come. And Swami has asked me to come. I came by own and I myself went back without joining. So what happened in Golden Jubilee Hall?
Lal Bagh.
There was an akhand bhajan by the Dr. Padmanabhan's families. So this Dr. Padmanabhan's brother, Dr. Ramachandra, was my neighbor in Indiranagar, Bangalore. There, I used to attend bhajan. Once a month, in rotation, they used to have bhajans in Dr. Padmanabhan's house, Dr. Ramachandra's house, all their family members' house. So once such bhajans, I used to attend along with my mother. Those bhajan. So this group, they arranged an akhand bhajan in Golden Jubilee Hall in Lal Bagh. And they invited Swami there. Then I was also given a passport because I used to attend the bhajans, no? You come and play deftly. So I also joined the bhajan group and the big Golden Jubilee Hall, all the, it is fully crowded. I am sitting along with the singers group. Along with me, I have taken one more Balavikas bhai, who is none other than brother of Sundareshan.
Vishwanath.
Okay. Sundareshan sir is
Dr.
Sundareshan sir is his elder brother.
Who is the director of the chemistry department.
Head of department of
doctors.
Chemistry now.
So, this boy and myself, we were classmates right from 4th standard in St. Joseph's. Somehow I only pulled him to Balavikas of Alsur also. Somehow like that. And so now I had called him, come ma'am. We both were sitting. And no, Swami called me indirectly. Okay. So Swami came. Like that, he was giving darshan. When he came to us, near us, he told, "Na enakkara,
come behind me.
Then Swami started moving, and this boy he asked me, Vishwanath asked me, "Sridhar, what Swami told?" I told, "Swami is asking us to follow him, I think, because something like volunteers or something like that." So immediately we are small boys, so we just caught hand and started moving behind Swami. Swami turned back. Ippudu kaadu nenu poyedappudu. Not now when I'm going. And immediately we sat. Then Swami went to the stage and from there he showed pointing to us to Dr. Padmanabhan something. Okay, now everything was Swami gave a delivered speech. Akadmanji started. Swami left. When he left we ran because Swami told no you just come along with me. When we went there Swami has already long gone. And now we are thinking what to do. Then I told Swami had gone to Whitefield. Let us go to Whitefield. Then by the time we were talking and the car comes back. Swami's car. Car comes back. And either Swami is not there, Dr. Padmanabhan is there. Along with the driver. And he told, please get in. So we both got into Swami's car and we went. And he took us to Dr. Padmanabhan's house. There when we were getting down from the car, Dr. Padmanabhan told, not you. Only he.
Only Vishwanath.
Oh.
It's not to me.
Oh, only
he. So you sit in the car itself. I sat in the car. Vishwanath went inside. Then, inside, so for 1 hour, I don't know what's happening inside. I'm weeping.
He actually sent the car for you, but now he's not allowing you to come inside.
Yeah. So I'm weeping. Then I waited. After 1 hour, still Swami is there inside. Dr. Padmanabhan came along with Vishwanath and told, you are going back to the Akhand Bhajan or you are going to your house.
Mm.
Then I told him, we are going to Akhand Bhajan.
Mm.
Then again, he told the driver, go and drop them in Lal Bagh.
Mm.
So both of us sat, went to Lal Bagh. Then adjacent to that Golden Jubilee, there is a small hillock.
Mm-hmm.
On that hill,
that Lal Bagh.
Lal Bagh, uh-huh. Inside Lal Bagh, if you know, it's uh-huh. a very nice pictures place.
Mm.
We sat, I told, Vishwanath, tell me what happened, what happened.
Mm.
Then he's telling, you know, there was a big dining hall, all the people were sitting there, and everything was served, Swami is sitting. Next to Swami, there was a chair, mm. and everything served on the plate, and Swami told, come on, kucho, sit down.
Mm.
So, I reluctantly sat there. Then, Swami told, tindu. Swami has not started.
Mm.
Nobody is having. He is asking me to
eat.
Mm. Eat. So, then he was afraid and he had. Then Swami had, then everybody had.
Mm.
So, after this, Swami took him to one room and gave interview. He told, many of your friends in your college are not good.
Mm.
You are having some bad company. Hmm? Please correct yourself and all that. And he materialized Vibhuti and told, you are having some problem in the stomach. And he did that. And finally he gave one thing which everybody can, only Rama gave to Hanumanji, that is Alinganam.
Oh, he embraced
Swami,
him.
Swami embraced him.
Oh, beautiful.
Then he told, okay, you can go. So he told all this story.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt as though I got all this opportunity.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And told him, Vishwanath, Swami is having so much love on us.
Mm-hmm.
Say me. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Swami is having so much love on us. Shall we join Swami's college?
Mm-hmm. But that is so beautiful. You know, you felt one with that brother. You know, even though he was narrating, you did not feel that he got all the chance yeah. and I didn't get anything.
Yeah, that jealousy was not because...
You felt so happy for him.
So happy. It was Swami is having so much love on us. Why don't we join Swami's college? You know, already 1 month have passed after the college.
So that is the story of Mr. Sridhar, and we'll continue this story. It's so beautiful when you listen to him, you know, how even as a little one, he was so happy that his friend got so much of attention from Swami. And that is how Swami was pulling, you know, all the time. As Swami says, his only instrument is love, his only weapon is love, his only methodology is love. And that is how Swami was drawing these youngsters. In fact, the story gets even more interesting. We'll continue the story of Mr. Sridhar in the coming episodes of Learning with Love in Vrindavan. There are many more stories. In fact, we have had nearly 6-7 hours of this conversation, panel discussion with Mr. Naveen Patel, Kiran Patel, Mr. Sridhar and Dr. Ravi Kumar. So we'll continue this beautiful nectar story of Bhagwan's campus in Vrindavan in the coming episodes of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. Thank you so much for being with us through this beautiful journey. If you have any queries or comments, as always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. Thank you so much. Sairam.